When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
Well, hello and welcome, everybody. You're here with me. This is going to be another amazing show, and I have a very special guest. Today, we're going to be talking about conflict in the workplace. And why is that on my Heal It show? Well, because it's an issue that we really need to address. There is a lot of conflict on the workplace. Let me ask you, have you been at work and you've had conflict with somebody? Maybe you didn't like what they said. Maybe you don't like what they do. Maybe you thought you should have got that promotion and you didn't. Maybe the company's going in a direction that you don't feel is right. Maybe there's communication issues across the board with different people. Maybe people are gossiping too much. Maybe you don't trust people in the work environment. There is a lot going on in the work environment. And quite frankly, all of that creates chaos. And all of that creates lack of productivity, lack of effectiveness, and for most people, it creates emotional stress. You know, they say that the scientists tell us now that about 60% of you out there have emotional stress in the workplace at least twice a week. That's a lot, okay? That's a lot. Because what happens with stress? Well, we know if you've been watching any of my shows, you know, stress is the number one cause of disease in the body, right? So we want to eliminate stress. And that, how do we do that? Well, we're going to give you some innovative solutions today to be able to maybe look at what's going on in the workplace and how you can maybe become more of an observer instead of part of the problem. You become more part of the solution and give you some real tools that you can use in your workplace so that you can be much more effective, much more calm, stress-free. If you're stress-free, you're probably going to love your job a lot more. I know I do. And, I've been in environments where I don't feel good, and it impacts everything, right? Well, we don't want that for you. I want you to have a lot of peace and joy and happiness in whatever you do and be prosperous and thrive. So that's what we're talking about today. All right, listen, I've got a great guest that's going to be with me today. And what I'm going to do is I'll take a quick break. And when we come back from the break, I'll introduce you to my guest. Well, welcome back, everybody. Again, I'm Ken D. Foster, your host today. I've got my very special guest, David Dye, is with us today. David, welcome to the show.
Ken, thanks for having me. Pleasure to be with you.
For those of you that don't know David, he helps leaders and teams achieve transformational results without sacrificing their humanity. As a former executive and elected officer, He is known for his practical leadership techniques that you can use right away, which is what I promised, David. So we're going to get to that. He's the award-winning author of 6 books, including Courageous Cultures, and is a master facilitator inspiring practical innovation through strategic innovation programs. Well, I think that's what we need. I think we need a lot more innovation in the workplace. We're going to be talking about your new book today, too. And there's a lot of challenges that I mentioned, a few of them in the intro. But, you know, people really want solutions. Nobody wants to go to work and be upset and, you know, be in a place where they're not happy. So, you know, how'd you get involved in this, first of all? Let's just start there. How did you go, you know what, I'm going to write about workplace conflict?
Yeah, you know what? You know what's interesting, Ken, is HarperCollins, our publisher, actually came to us and said, we are seeing this need in the marketplace, just like you described. There's all this anecdotal evidence, and especially coming out of the pandemic, about more conflict in the workplace. And they came to my partner, Karen Hurt, and I, and said, hey, we think you're the folks to write about this. We've written, as you had mentioned, some other books with them. And yes, we value practicality, and that's what they wanted on this one. And so we said, you know, we took a hard look at ourselves and said, are we the right people for this? And for us, we don't want to do anything that isn't research-based. So we did a global workplace and conflict and collaboration study, and surveyed more than 5,000 people, 46 countries, all 50 of the United States, to find out what's happening in the workplace with conflict today. What are some of those major causes that you were talking about earlier? But most importantly, what are we going to do about it? And so we'll get into some of those practical solutions.
I love it. You know, I'm just, how do you survey 5,000 people? I mean, that's pretty amazing.
Yeah, really one at a time. I mean, you know, today our technology makes that a little bit easier, but we actually took some inspiration from Dan Pink and his regret survey that he did for his last book on regret. And so there's a number of ways you can get to people. So, but there are platforms that help with that. So that's a fast
awesome.
Answer.
That's yeah. Awesome. Yeah, good. Well, okay. So what did you identify, first of all, with this survey? What came to light that we don't necessarily know about?
For sure. So, you know, we started, okay, base question, like, are you experiencing more or less or the same conflict today than in years past? And if it feels like there is more conflict out there, it's because there is. So, and it was interesting, 70% of the respondents said they're experiencing the same, greater, or significantly greater amounts of conflict as in years past. And so, and what's interesting, you know, people always want to know, like, did it differ across the world? And really not much variation. The United States was a little bit higher than some countries, not the highest. Germany and India were a little bit higher, and other countries a little bit lower, but by and large, it was fairly consistent. And so there is more workplace conflict going on. But one of the things that was super interesting is, okay, let's take that 30% who said, no, I'm having less. Well, if you dive into that and you say, why are you having less? Some interesting information comes out. Half of those folks said they're experiencing less conflict because they've escaped. They left a toxic or conflict-prone workplace. Maybe they're working remotely full-time now, and so they're just not having as much interaction with other human beings. And so that either of those might feel more peaceful for that person, but what was lost in all of that is the healthy collaboration, conflict, all of the things that come about when we get two different people with different ideas and perspectives building something together. So even the folks who are experiencing less, it's not always for positive reasons.
Not always for a positive reason. That's a really good point. So can you share some of the key insights from the World Workplace Conflict and Collaboration Survey, how they influence the strategies that you presented in your book? And since we haven't really bridged the book yet, I want to put it up on screen so people can see it. It's called Powerful Phrases for Dealing with Workplace Conflict by Karen Hurt and David Dye.
I have a brother named Dan, so we're in the same.
Maybe I'm tuning into Dan. I'm like, oh, where'd that come from? So I'm reading David and saying Dan. That's weird. Anyway.
Yeah. Love it. Yeah. You know, what's interesting when you talk about some of the insights, one of the questions we asked folks was, okay, thinking about, and love, as you're watching or listening right now, I'd love for you to think about this for yourself. Thinking of one of the most the biggest workplace conflicts you've ever had in your career, as you think back to those things. If you could go back and give your former self one piece of advice, what would it be?
Oh, I'd like to answer that.
Okay. All right, Ken, let's hear yours.
I'll tell you what it is. It's compassion. Number one, give myself and the people that was in conflict compassion. From that place.
That perspective, absolutely. Yeah. And so this is fascinating to me. And of all the questions we asked and all the responses we got, again, think about this. 46 countries, 5,000 plus people. When was the last time that many people agreed on anything? 55% of the folks that we surveyed said that if they could give advice to themselves, it would be to be patient, stay calm. Yeah. Some variation of stay calm, be patient. And then another 21% said their advice to themselves would be to talk about it, talk about the issue, or to talk about it sooner.
Yeah. And well, my goodness. Compassion for me leads to patience and calmness. As soon as I give that,
exactly.
I'm peaceful and calm. Yeah.
Exactly. And it's that perspective piece. So 76% of all of these respondents, and we have continued to conduct these surveys when we're talking to audiences around the world, do a lot of keynote speaking and workshops and long-term leadership development programs, all those sorts of things. And the in any given room of 1,000 people, you get the same percentage of folks. So 76% saying, stay calm, be patient, talk about it sooner, which is great advice for all of us that have compassion, the what's their perspective, all of those things. And the question is, how do we do it? So we want to equip people with the practical, specific tools. And that's why in conflicts about communication. So that's why it's powerful phrases for dealing with workplace conflict and really transforming that from the kind of destructive conflict that we all go, oh, who needs more of that, to the productive collaboration that we all need more of.
Well, it seems to me like we almost have to reimagine workplace conflict, because I think a lot of people think it's okay to you know, get angry or get upset or tell somebody what to do or when to do or how to do it, give them unsolicited advice. I see a lot of that. How about you?
Absolutely. You know, in some of my earliest work on leadership, you know, asking that question, like, why do we have people who do the things that you just said, right? We rely on power, fear, trying to control. If we think about it for a minute, you can't control. I mean, you don't have control over anybody else. We barely have control over ourselves sometimes, right? And much less over other people. So why do we do these things that don't ultimately work and just create more? Well, there's reasons for it, right? We've got our freeze, fight, flight, all of those things that are built into our biology when we feel like we're under threat. And so people either fire up or they self-protect or they just freeze and don't know what to do. You know, we've got those things going on. We've got the socialization. Maybe we were taught that by our parents, some of the former leaders in our life, different things that are going on. And you've got the fact that you can get some results from those techniques. You don't get the big stuff that you want, and it comes at a huge cost to your psyche and everything else. And when we're talking about heal it, I love in your opening credits, you know, I talk about change your mind, change your health. And so if we want some different results, it all starts with adjusting and shifting that mindset and how we go about that.
Well, that kind of just steps right into your book, because your book is, let's talk about some of the powerful phrases that we can. And when we say phrases, and I'm reading your book, I'm thinking, well, I'm reprogramming my thinking with these powerful phrases so that when conflict does come, I already know how I'm going to handle it, right? Because I've got something new going on inside instead of the same old, you know, I'm getting the same old results. So, let's where do these powerful phrases, first of all, come from?
Absolutely. So, you know, I'm going to start with the first conversation that we need to have. And this first conversation isn't actually with anybody else. It's the conversation we have with ourselves. And just to introduce this concept real quick, story early in my career, I had been promoted. I was 23, 24 years old. I'd been promoted into my first leadership role, team of three people. And our CEO asked me and our team through me to be a part of this marketing event that he was doing, which was a problem for me because I thought the way he was promoting this thing, inviting people, setting it up, massively lacked integrity. I didn't like it at all, but I didn't say anything because CEO and all afraid of all the power dynamics. So instead of saying something, I just stewed about it. I was anxious. I wasn't sleeping well for 3 days, 4 days. I got to day four, and after no sleep and everything else, I didn't use any of the phrases we're about to talk about. I just popped my cork. I blew up. I said, this lacks integrity. I don't like it. I can't be a part of this. I don't want to do this. And I really expected him to hand me a box and say, you don't like it? There's the door. Go get your things. I'll help you pack. But in actuality, that's not what happened. And I am so grateful for this moment, because what he said was, David, I don't see it that way. I don't think it lacks integrity at all. However, I don't want you violating your conscience either. And then he asked me the question I should have thought about from the beginning. He said, David, how can we have to do this? We have to do this event. We need the exposure. We need the money, all the rest. How can we do this in a way that feels an integrity for you? It's a great question. Took me 15 seconds, no time at all, to say, hey, well, hey, what if we did it this way? What if we approached it this way? Okay. He said, yeah, let's do that. That'll work. Like, are you kidding me? I wasted all those days and nights of anxiety, sleepless night, everything else, if I just could have had the conversation. So why am I so grateful for that? And how does this create a platform for what we're talking about? Change your mind, change your health. Because it helped me understand that when I've got a point of view, I've got a perspective, I've got something that needs to be said. If I don't say it, my silence is selfish. I'm depriving myself of the opportunity to learn. I'm depriving the other person of the benefit of my perspective and an opportunity to either educate me like he did, make a different choice like he also did. If I don't say anything, none of that can happen. So if nothing changes, nothing changes. So
I love that. And I think there's, I love that, you know, right now, I know that landed with my audience. It landed with me. Well, you're selfish if you don't share those, what's going on. But how do you share it in a way that doesn't, because you exploded, but a lot of people do that. They don't want to explode. They've been thinking about it. How do they deliver it so it's not explosive?
Yeah. And I certainly do not recommend that strategy. I recommend against that strategy. So in order to have these conversations, I'm going to start with four dimensions. Every workplace relationship, every workplace conflict has these four dimensions present in it. And there's two ways to think about this. The more we invest in these dimensions up front, before we have any conflict, the easier it's, and the more collaborative it'll be. But then we can also dive into these.
You know what, David? I just saw the time. I got to take a quick commercial. We come back, we'll go to the four dimensions.
Perfect.
UK Health Radio.
The station that makes you feel good.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
The station that makes you feel good.
Welcome back, everybody. This is your host, Kendi Foster. I'll be right back with my guest, David Dye, in just a minute. We're talking about workplace health, workplace well-being, I guess is what we really want to call it. I want to encourage all of you. This show is a powerful show. I know you've already experienced a little bit of it. Go and subscribe to our YouTube channel and don't miss any more shows. Go subscribe, and also, more importantly, pass it on to people that you care about. That's how we change. That's how we grow. That's how this society gets better and better, and we all start to live more in harmony and peace with one another. Okay. All right, back to my guest. All right, David. The four key elements here. Let's go.
Yeah, all right, these four dimensions. Yeah, good cliffhanger, right? Leave it up. And these four dimensions, like you're talking about spreading these and living in more compassion and peace with one another, this will do it. So the four dimensions are connection, clarity, curiosity, and commitment. And just running through those real quick. Connection: do we know one another as human beings? Are we seeing each other as more than just the role we play, the thing we get out of that person? Clarity: do we have a shared understanding of success? So many workplace conflicts come about because of expectation violations. You know, I thought that you were going to You thought that I was going to put my mug in the sink after the meeting, and I thought the magic coffee fairy was going to do it, you know, that kind of thing. Curiosity. Are we open to one another's perspectives? When we're missing obstacles or we're missing opportunities, it's because we're not getting curious enough. And then commitment. And commitment is not just an act of willpower, like, oh, I'm committed. We're talking about, do we have a specific way to take action here? And are we following through on that, either with celebration or accountability? So those are our four dimensions. And if we can invest in those up front, have more connection, know one another as human beings, get the clarity we need so we're working from the same playbook, showing up curious with one another, and really creating some specific plans and follow through, everything gets easier. But then we go into a conflict. So now what do we do? This is where the phrases come in. All right, so we're getting in the middle of a conversation. I start realizing, ooh, it's getting heated. What's going on? Well, I can start thinking about those four dimensions. What's at stake here? What's not working? Is it that we're not being curious enough? Is it we don't really know one another, so we're making false judgments about each other? Is it that we're really playing from different scripts? I thought our manager asked this. You thought the customer asked that. And so forth. So as we figure out which of those dimensions are at play, there's some really specific phrases we can start using to have those conversations.
I love it. I want to get into the phrases in just a second, but I want to bring in this other piece to the conversation. That is, a lot of people in the workplace compete with one another. They're competing mm-hmm. for the job of the manager. They're competing to be smarter or better or get the next innovative product in the marketplace. How do these principles apply for that when you have that competition mindset? And a lot of times that's set up by the organization.
Yeah. And some of that's being aware of the kind of organization you're in. And as fans of human-centered workplaces, and what do we mean by that? We mean about organizations that get results by creating environments where people grow and thrive. And so we are not huge fans of the organizations and the organizational approaches that pit people against each other. Internal competition isn't your biggest driver. There's a saying like, you know what, the best teams, like health and wellness teams, for instance, since we're talking about health, they're not trying to compete against each other. They're not even trying. Their competition isn't the team across the hall. Their competition is cancer. Their competition is the thing we're trying to solve for. And so as you are a part of a team, even if you're in an organization like that, you can create cultural oases where you say, what is it we're really trying to do? What's the purpose we're trying to achieve? What is it we're trying to overcome? It's not other human beings. It's typically a purpose we're trying to serve, something we're trying to do for our customer, or if we're in like health and wellness, like the trying to create that for our customers and clients. So that's a way that we can shift our mindset again to help us get to a more positive place. Now, Ken, you're absolutely right. Sometimes we're in a situation where like, listen, there's a role open. You and I are both interested in it. Only one of us is going to get it. And that's reality. So we want to position ourselves to do that. My belief is you invest in those four dimensions and being a person who is really good at bringing people together to work together to come up with more collaborative solutions. You're positioning yourself very well for those opportunities. Doesn't mean you're going to get everyone. That's the world we live in. But you're doing the best you can to position yourself for it.
Yeah. Yeah, I remember one of the airlines a few decades back, actually now, they would bring their prospective hirees into a room and they just observe them. And all they were observing for is who was of service to the other people. That's it. They were a service-oriented airline and they wanted to bring in people that really cared about other people. That's how they pointed them out. So, yeah. I believe that you're right. Competition doesn't necessarily create the most effective, productive work environment, although people think it does. Short term, it might. Long term, it creates a lot of chaos instead of cooperation. So I think we're dead on. And I love what you said about, you said shared expectation for success and really getting clear and defining what is success for the team. Yeah. You know, I think that's a big one. Yeah.
Absolutely. And that's one of my very favorite powerful phrases in the entire book. So there are over 300 phrases and you can turn to the table of contents. It's like, I've got a boss who's a micromanager. I've got some workplace gossip. I got a passive aggressive colleague. You can figure out your problem and turn right to that chapter and get some answers.
That's awesome.
But that said, 300 phrases, nobody's going to remember all 300 phrases. So what we have done in chapter 3, starting on page 21, is identify 12 powerful phrases. We call these the GOATs, the greatest of all time powerful phrases that you can use in a host of different situations. There are three for each of those four dimensions. And one of my favorites is what you're getting at there, Ken, is clarity. So one of my favorite powerful phrases for clarity, and it's worded very specifically, what would a successful outcome do for you? And here's how it works. Here's how it works. So let's say that you and I are starting a project together. Maybe we're both entrepreneurs. We're coming together on a project. Maybe we're work within a company and we've been brought together to work on a project. If I say, hey, Ken, what would a successful outcome do for you on this project? And you say, you know what? I've been working 70-hour weeks. I have not seen my people, my family, my friends. Like, it's been a minute. What a successful outcome would do for me, in addition to the project itself, if we can be buttoned up, have the presentation ready to go by end of business, 5 p.m. on Friday, knowing that we're going to walk in that room on Monday morning and go for it, and I can have the weekend and there's no fire drills and emergencies. If I know that, that's what a successful outcome would do for me. Let me see my people, get some rest. Okay, awesome. And I say, you know, here's what a successful outcome would do for me. I'm not sure that our client sees my genius on this or that my boss understands how smart I am on this. So if when we're doing the presentation, I could hold the mic and I can answer some of those key questions that come up, that's going to help me out in terms of some of what I need out of this. Well, now that we know that, we can start solving for that. But if we never ask those questions, we just go about our business and I'm thinking like, oh, you know, I got no problem working the weekend and, you know, let's just put in the extra time. And now you're resentful and I'm just answering the questions because I happen to know some answers and now you're not getting what you need and now you're upset. Like, we can solve all of that if we just start by saying, what would a successful outcome do for you?
I love that.
That's just one powerful phrase.
I love that. You know, I come across situations where you have a supervisor and people are afraid to approach that supervisor and tell them what's really going on because they'll feel that they'll be chastised. They'll be the supervisor might have an anger issue. You know, stuff happens. You know, it's out there. It's in the workplace environment. So how Absolutely. Do we create a culture of open dialogues with our teams? And, you know, if you got a supervisor like that, how do you deal with it?
Well, let's start with the first part of that, of if you do have a supervisor like that, what do you do? And whether they're not, and there's an entire chapter on if you got a moody dropper of F-bombs, all those sorts of things, and you can deal with some of those situations. But let's say that you do have that thing where, gosh, I'm worried about how to approach my supervisor and I've got some perspective and I want to share it. I actually think they're making a mistake here, or I'm feeling overwhelmed and what they're asking me to do is going to negatively affect this project. What do I do? Well, let's go to connection. Connection. Do we know one another as human beings? There are some phrases we can use to start that conversation and set it on the right foot. So one of them is, hey, listen, boss, let's say I'm talking to my boss. Hey, listen, boss, I really care about the team. I really care about the outcome of this project that we're talking about. I really care about our success here. And I've noticed that, and then we can introduce some clarity. So I start with connection. Now I'm going to go to clarity. I've noticed that you asked for this extra project here, or that you taking this approach on this. And I'm seeing some things that concern me in that, because I'm not sure that you're going to get the results that you're wanting or that you've previously defined for us. And I want to make sure that we do that for you. So when I'm having that conversation, I'm saying yes to my boss. I'm saying yes to their goals. And everything I'm positioning is in terms of helping to achieve the things that are there that they also want. So then I can start saying, okay, so if we do this thing that you just asked, it's going to have this negative consequence on these three projects that I know are super important to you. I've got some ideas. I'm thinking, what if we were to approach it this way? What if we shifted the timeline on this one? We could resource this differently. We could, you know, come in with a point of view and a solution. And then ask them, you know, how does that sound to you? What do you think? Many times, those supervisors, they're so caught up in their own world, they don't recognize all the consequences. They don't recognize all the scenarios and situations that the team might be in. And so when you raise your hand and say, hey, I want to make sure we're achieving what you've asked for, and here's some challenges with that, what do you think? Mm-hmm. Now you're giving a chance for some collaborative conversation.
That's really good. Let me flip it on the other side of that. Let's now I'm the supervisor, and I'm not really good with reviews, right? I've got to give my my team a review, and I'm wondering, you know, last time I gave them a review, I got upset, or they got upset, and I didn't handle it right. What do we do with that?
All right. So, Ken, I could talk about this. How much time do we have?
By the way, I'm sorry, I do have to take another break, but we'll be right back. And you'll get
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Well, welcome back, everybody. This is your host, Ken D. Foster. I'm talking with David Dye. He's got a new book out. He's co-author of Powerful Phrases for Dealing with Workplace Conflict. And David, I'm decided I'm going to be the king of hooks now on my show. So go ahead.
I love it. That's everybody stay it through the commercial for these. So
well, they're not leaving to hear this one. I know that
exactly. All right. So the question, just to reframe the question, it was: if I am a supervisor and I really am challenged by giving reviews, I'm uncomfortable. I get negative reactions. What do I do? How do I approach these? So, and you could talk about this a long time, but just a couple of key things. First is when you get to a review, there should not be anything new on that review. You should have been having these conversations all along. There's no surprises. A review is an encapsulation, a summary of the past 3, 6, 9, whatever your time frame is that you're talking about. So that's the first thing. Short conversations along the way, always better than trying to save all this stuff up. It doesn't work. Second is, as you're having those short conversations or as you're having a review conversation, let's say that you need to address a particularly touchy subject. And again, there's a chapter on this in the book where you're dealing with performance issues, right? Here's a powerful phrase you can use, not just in performance coaching, but in just all sorts of different situations. My intent for this conversation is blank, so that blank. Let me give you an example. Hey, my intent for this conversation is to address the explosion that happened with the team this morning and everything that went on there so that you can have a good working relationship with your colleagues, so that the team is able to achieve what it needs to do, and so that we can have a peaceful work environment. My intent for this conversation is to address a problem that happened with your data that negatively affected the customer. We had, you know, that customer situation. We had to give some comps there, cost the organization some money, so that you can make sure that doesn't happen again, and so that our customers have complete confidence in what we're doing. So whatever it is that you're needing to talk about, my intent for this conversation is blank, so that blank. The reason we do that, two reasons. One, it removes all of the guesswork. The other person's not having to guess, like, what's my boss trying to get at here? What are they really saying? No, we've put our intention on the table. It's there for everybody. So it's a transparency, one, to build trust. Two, it gives the other person a chance to enroll in that conversation. Or on the other hand, if they're not interested in that conversation, no, I don't want to increase trust in our team. No, I don't want to work well with my colleagues. No, I don't want to serve our customers. Oh, well, okay. That's good for me to know as a supervisor. If they're truly not interested in that, now I know. So either way, it gives them a chance to enroll or not enroll. But that's a whole different conversation. So we don't waste our time on all this kind of negative guessing. Oh, am I in trouble? And the intent is a positive intent. My intent here is to help you. And so coming as an active, as you were saying earlier, as an act of service to your employee, to your team member, that's where you're starting the conversation. Opens it, now we can have a real conversation. There's a lot of things we can do in that conversation, but if we can just, if I had one thing to equip the person with, that would be it.
Well, I love that. And I think what we're also talking about here, maybe some of you might take me up on this. I think it's a new habit. I think it's a place where you're in the work environment, something happens in what you do. Of course, you're not going to react because you've decided that's not the way you want to show up. And so you decide, well, I'm going to want to respond to this. So what do you do? The first thing you do is you go and you pull out David's book and you go to the area that you're having this challenge with, and you look it up and you ponder it a little bit, and then you make some decisions to how you're going to react to it. That's what I think. What do you think?
Well, I'm definitely a fan of that approach, as you might imagine. So, you know, if listen, you can have accountability conversations in every direction. You might be a team member and you got another team member who wasn't pulling their weight or didn't follow through on something. There's a way to have that conversation. Hey, my intent for this conversation is to make sure that we're both able to rely on each other for, you know, so that we can trust that all of that's getting done. And I've seen some challenges with that, and I'd like to talk about that. So we can open the door. But starting with that connection, getting our intent clearly on the table makes all the difference.
Yeah. Okay. We're in the workplace environment. Now, we got a situation where trust has been broken. Somebody shared something that they were going to do. They didn't keep their commitment. Maybe it's gone on a few times. How do we deal with that issue?
Yeah. So we really are going to draw on all four of these dimensions when we have this conversation. So, and I might start with, hey, listen, you know, sharing my intent for the conversation so that we can whatever, you know, and I really care about us. I really care about our relationship. Or if I don't know this person, I say, like, I really care about our success here. I really care about what we're doing. I really care about the outcome and how we're serving our customer, whatever it is that I care about that they might care about too. But I'm showing my heart, creating some reason for the conversation. If the person is fired up and having some things, another great GOAT phrase is tell me more. Before, as you were saying, we don't want to react. One of the ways to not react is to bite our tongue for a second and just say, tell me more. And when we do that, it helps lessen their intensity, because when somebody's firing up, it's because they don't feel heard. And so if we can tell me more and really draw that out, show that we care about what they've got to say, okay, that's going to help. From there, share our perspective, and we really want to focus on observable facts as much as we can. So I've noticed that, and this is a powerful phrase, I've noticed that, and then what is it you've observed? I've noticed that our data sharing requests, when we've asked you for the data we need to do our job, that we're not getting those in a timely fashion. And I've noticed that our requests really seem to irritate your folks, which I understand. We're pinging you all the time. So my intent for this conversation is to come up with a way that we can solve this problem in a way that's going to work for you and work for us. So what would a successful outcome do for you? Going back to that one we already mentioned earlier. One request a week and one time, one and done. Okay, got it. Okay, and what it would do for us is we'd have the data we need to do our work. So let's talk about that. Okay, how does this, and one of my favorite curiosity goats, powerful phrases, how does this look from your perspective? What's going on for you here? And we can use that one again, so many, it may be a problem solving conversation. Maybe I'm getting fired up myself, one of the ways to calm myself down is to get curious, because you can't be curious and furious at the same time, or at least curiosity lessens some of that furiosity. Is that a word? I don't know.
I think that's accurate. Yeah. 100%. You know, there's so much we could talk about here. It just goes on and on. It's like an onion we're peeling here. But let me ask you this. How do you envision our readers? We've talked about some of the steps, but envision our readers utilizing the book for themselves, either personally or professionally.
Yeah.
How do you see that?
My encouragement is you get the book. And by the way, it's available if you're a listener. It's available in Audible. Audio format. Karen and I read it. So we have a number of people who are like, hey, you guys are in my car every morning as they go through. But what I would recommend is read the first five, six chapters. because they really give you a foundation of the conversation you need to have with yourself. What's at stake if you stay silent? How do you find your voice? Then it goes through those GOATs, those 12 powerful phrases I mentioned that are applicable in so many different circumstances, and also gives you some tools to de-escalate. If you're running into a situation where you're getting a lot of a drama and so forth, what are some ways that we can de-escalate that situation? I'll just give you one phrase on that one real quick. So somebody, and this happens all the time, "That's not how I'm feeling. You don't understand me." Here's your phrase. "You're right. I don't understand, and I really want to. So can you help me understand? What is going on for you right now? How does this look from your perspective? Okay, tell me more." You know, so just as an example, so that's all in the foundation of those first six chapters. And then from there, as you were saying, Ken, when you actually have, we call them ACEs, acute conflict experience, you can go and find a specific chapter that addresses your situation. Your boss is micromanaging you, whatever the situation, we've talked about a lot of them. So you can go find the specific chapter, get the answers you need.
Wow. This is really powerful. And, I'm thinking to myself, I've been a business strategist for 30 plus years and, I've worked with lots and lots and lots of businesses. I'm just thinking how many businesses could really benefit from having this,
yeah,
this book and this teaching. And I love the fact that you got it on Audible. That's really powerful.
Yeah.
So, we just have a few more moments left here. You got a couple of minutes. Let's talk about some final thoughts for the audience and what you suggest. What do you want them to know as a result of listening to this today?
Yeah, absolutely, Ken. Thank you. So, in the work that we do with organizations, and we've worked with Fortune 5 companies, all the way down to startups and some nonprofit organizations and human service organizations. And as you said, like, we're human beings and we all need these tools. All of us need to have these conversations. All of us have a perspective to share, and your colleagues and your managers have theirs too. So it's, how do we open the door to these conversations? So if I had one piece of advice, I'm going to tell you what one of my coaching clients told me. He called and he was upset about a particular situation that was going on. And I said, "Well, have you talked about it?" He said, "No." I said, "All right, well, let's talk," and shared some powerful phrases for him. So when you have a chance, let's maybe talk with your manager, talk with that dotted line report, and let's have the conversation. See how it goes. Ask for what you need and let's go from there. About 48 hours later, he texts me, "David, I'm going to get a tattoo." Okay. "Do tell. What is the tattoo going to say?" I text him back. And he writes back, "Just have the conversation." And I said, well, that sounds like it went well. Yeah. And then he just goes out. He's like, "Yes. Oh my goodness. I've been sitting on this for forever and I'm frustrated and so forth. All I had to do was talk about it." He said, "I didn't get everything. I got 80% and the other 20%, I totally see their perspective. Just have the conversation. You've got some tools, even in the phrases we've shared today on the show, you've got some phrases, some tools that you can use to open the door to a meaningful conversation. If you do that, if you use these tools, even if you have a boss who's a jerk, even if you have a colleague who is really a psychopath and selfish and out for themselves, which, those folks are out there, even in those situations, using these tools, one, gives you a better chance at a productive solution in that situation and even working with that person. And two, if they're really just somebody that you're not going to be able to work with or that you don't want to do business with, now you have data to tell you that. Where before all you had was a story in your head. You don't want to act on that story. That's reactivity. But now you have data because you've had the conversation. So just have the conversation. You don't have to do it perfectly. Have the conversation.
I love that. One of the ingredients that everybody needs to heal anything, it's called courage. So if you encourage, by the way, it's not a thought, right? It's an energy, it's a vibration, it's a frequency, it's a power within us, but it doesn't show up until you go and have that conversation. That's when courage shows up. So just want to mention that so people step into that. It might take courage to go get that book right now, but I want to encourage you one last time to go get David's book. It's called Powerful Phrases for dealing with workplace conflict. And it's Karen Hurt and David Dye. And it's a powerful read. So go get it. Change your life. Change your health. Change your wellness in the workplace. Why not? Somebody's got to do it. Might as well be you. David, thank you so much for being here, man. I really appreciate it.
Ken,
it's really great.
It's been my pleasure. I love talking with you. Thank you.
Yeah, it's hey, by the way, I think I'm not sure if we put it on the screen, but if you'd like to find out about David, you can go to letsgrowleadership.com. Letsgrowleadership.com. I think we put it on earlier, but I just wanted to mention
that.
Yeah,
letsgrowleaders.com, name of our business there.
Leaders.com. Forget ship. Go Let's Grow Leaders. I'm being dyslexic today, but what the heck? And thank all of you for joining us today. These shows are for you, and they're for you to help grow your health, your vitality, your life, your productivity. So we encourage you to pass them on to people that you care about. Until next time.